From coast to coast, all across the United States and Canada, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank serves as president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry that is here because truth matters. If you'd like to talk to Hank, then call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your call answered live on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. We'll be going to your calls live in just a moment. Again, that number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And before we go to our callers, however, I do want to mention just a few things that I think you need to know about. One is we now have available the Equip iPhone app. You can listen to archived broadcasts. You can listen to a special Ask Hank feature. You can listen to the broadcasts live on your iPhone app. And you can read articles from the award-winning Christian Research Journal. You can go to equip.org and click on the Equip iPhone app banner to download your app free today. If you haven't done so, go to equip.org on the World Wide Web. Also want to mention that December is a crucial month in terms of making a difference, not just for time, but also for eternity. And when I talk about a crucial month, I'm talking about a month in which we ask you to stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We're asking you to stand with this ministry because we do what we do because truth matters. Also, I want to mention before we go to our callers that December 21st of this month is a crucial day. Once again, date setters have indicated that this is the day that the world is going to end. This time, Jack Van Impe, who has held false prophecy statements at bay by calibrating a generation not at 40 years, but 52.2 years or 51.2 years, he comes up with that analysis 2018, 2019. He says, subtract 7 years from that. And we're talking about 2012. Ironically, Jack Van Impe found confirmation in the Mayan astrology calendar. The Mayan calendar, he says, ends December 21st, 2012. It's all there, ladies and gentlemen. And therefore, we have 3 days before the end of the world. Now, I'm sure Jack Van Impe didn't think 2012 would come this quick. He certainly didn't think December 21st would come this quick. But once again, we're going to find out that prophecy pundits do not know when the world is going to end. In fact, as I said many times on the broadcast, no one knows the answer to that question. What we're called to be is faithful and fruitful. We are to prepare as though Christ's coming is a long way off, and we are to be prepared as though he may come in the next millisecond. But trying to predict when Jesus Christ will come only serves to drag Christ's name through the mud. I've written about this in various places, including Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. You can find that book online at equip.org, bookstores everywhere. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Vernon, listening in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Vernon.
How you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Hank, I love your show. You have really taught me how to really read the Bible for what it's worth. And I got two questions, though. Okay, I want to, can you give me a shine of light on 1 Peter 3:19? And we was in a discussion in Bible study, and people think that Jesus went back to preach to the people in hell. Can you shine some light on that for me?
Yeah, but that's not really what the text is telling us. What the text is actually telling us is that just as the Spirit of Jesus preached through the lips of Noah to the people of his day, who were then, by the way, in the flesh, but at the writing of Peter's epistle were disembodied spirits in the prison house of Hades, so in the days preceding the fall of Jerusalem, the Spirit of Jesus was preaching through Peter and the persecuted church to a pagan world, and now I'm using the words of Peter right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, that was drowning in a flood of dissipation. So the disobedient that died in Noah's day, in Peter's day, and that, for that matter, die in our day, comprise spirits in prison or souls in Hades who await a final day of judgment in which they will be sentenced and sent to an eternal prison house, namely hell. This does not in any way communicate, it's not intended to communicate that somehow or other Jesus went and preached to people who are now dead and are giving them a second chance or taking them from Hades to heaven.
Okay, Hank, I wonder, and then my second question is that, okay, you know those that died in the old covenant, when Jesus was resurrected, didn't he cover their sins too?
Yeah,
can
absolutely.
Can you explain that to me?
Yeah, look, the cross stands upon the fulcrum of history, which is to say that people who die prior to the time of the cross are saved in the same way as people like you and I who will die after the cross. We're saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ alone. And therefore, Abraham was saved in the exact same way that you are. He looked forward to the promise through types and shadows. We look back at the promise, for that which was shadow has become substance. But we're saved in the exact same way. He looked forward to the promise through types and shadows. We look back at the substance that came.
Okay. And, Hank, I just want to say I'm all with you because I believe truth does matter, and you have really helped me touch the souls in Omaha, Nebraska. May God bless you in your ministry. And I do have three of your books. I got an Apocalypse Code. I got Hank Hanegram Bible Answer Book, and I love Christianity in Crisis. May God bless you and your family, and Merry Christmas.
Hey, thanks for your enthusiasm. You made my day.
All right, thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bless you. RC next in Kansas City, Kansas, listening also on Bot Radio. Hi, RC.
Hello, Hank. Longtime supporter and listener. And I called in about this question before, and I meditated upon your answer, and I thought I'd verse it in a different phrase. And pertaining to first cousins in particular, I need to find out what the Bible does condone and not condone with first cousins having intimate relationships, which ultimately lead to marriage. But we know that, you know, marriage is pertaining to different states as far as what it is. I
sure
just want to know what the Bible condones.
Well, think about it in principle. RC, think about it in principle for a moment. I mean, if you look at what's going on in the Scripture, the laws against incest were instituted for a reason. They weren't just gratuitous. They were instituted because over time, genetic imperfections accumulate. And so God sets those laws into place at a particular point in time to spare us from those kind of imperfections. So prior to this, you had Adam and Eve's children being able to intermarry. But that changed again when the laws of incest were instituted in the Scripture. Now, from the standpoint of Scripture then, there is no current law against first cousin marriage, period. But there are laws from the standpoint of the state, and we are to respect those laws. 25 states currently prohibit marriage between cousins. The others allow it generally or in certain circumstances. For example, there are some states, and I think you're calling from Kansas, they do prohibit first cousin marriage in Kansas. So it depends on the state, and we are to abide by the laws of the state.
Yes, I believe that is shown. This is in California, by the way, but does the Bible condone relationships within, between first cousins?
Well, what I'm saying is there is no law in Scripture against first cousin marriage.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
so the law, the Scripture does not prohibit it. So principally, there's nothing in Scripture that would speak out against first cousin marriage.
So, like in Arkansas, if it's not prohibited there, then the marriage is blessed, and so is the relationship between the first cousins?
Yeah, there you would have no prohibition against it from the standpoint of the state, nor would you have any prohibition against it from the standpoint of Scripture.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, and someone just gave me a note. I did not know this, but first cousin marriage is prohibited in Arkansas.
I did not know if it is or not, but I think last
time... Well, I just got a note from a research assistant that pointed this out to me.
Okay. That's what I needed to know because, you know, especially when our first cousins, we grew up with them and they're pretty much, we treated them like our own brother and sister. And I know that if I adopted somebody and treated them like my brother and sister, I would still consider that incest as later on they got married. And, you know, there's obviously no biological prohibition there. But that itself, the relationship value itself, I think, you know, it really, really weighs my mind and conscience when my first cousin, you know, is in relationship with my sibling.
Yeah. Well, again, the principle has to do with what you find in the Scripture, no prohibition in the Scripture, and secondly, the issue of the particular state that you live in. We are called to conform our ways to the state if, in fact, what the state is asking us to do does not violate what Scripture asks us to do. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Leanne, listening in St. Louis, Missouri, on Bot Radio. Hi, Leanne.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I love your show, and I was having a conversation with my younger brother the other night. I'm 22 and he's 19, but as soon as he brought this up to me, I knew I was going to have to call you the next chance I got because I knew I would be able to get some reliable answers from you. But what we were talking about was just kind of a lot of different stuff, and we got onto the topic of the Book of Revelation, and he told me that he had been informed that the book was meant to serve as some type of secret code to Christians at the time about what was going on in Rome, and the Antichrist was supposed to be the Roman Emperor Nero, and that now, today, we're supposed to look at it as what it was in that time and not a predictor of the end times that are to come. And that just contradicts everything that I believe, and so I didn't really know where he got that information from or if a lot of people believe that or what your thoughts are on that subject.
Well, here's what my thoughts on that are. Revelation was written to the churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. So if you look at the book of Revelation at the very beginning, it says that these are letters to seven churches. These churches are going to suffer greatly, and they're being asked to be faithful. They're going to suffer for a short time, but they're going to receive an eternal vindication. So these churches are going to suffer greatly, and that's clearly communicated as something that's going to happen to them, not to a 21st century church. So what they're being told applies to us in the 21st century, but these are seven letters to seven churches in the epicenter of a Caesar cult. Furthermore, if you look at what Revelation actually says it is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Now, if that's not enough, the Lord Jesus goes on through the Apostle John to make clear that soon means soon, in saying he made it known by sending his angel to a servant John who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Soon means soon, near means near. When Jesus says that there's a looming apocalypse on the horizon and that the time is near, it is contrary to all decency and propriety to dogmatically declare that his words are meant to convey an event that is in the far future. So I think it's an unconscionable abuse of language to say that the word soon or near means 2,000 years hence or a faraway epoch of time. As always, what was written to believers in that epoch of time. If you read Romans, it was written to Roman believers. But every single word of Scripture is useful to us today as well. So what's going on in the book of Revelation is they are being exhorted about something that's going to happen in their epoch of time, but ultimately, just like all of the Bible, it looks forward to a time where there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Today's growing firestorm of false teachers, fringe religions, and fierce attacks on Christianity is enough to shake the faith of even the most dedicated believers. When you give to support CRI, you help strengthen many who are in need of guidance and help those whose faith is unwavering draw even closer to Christ. Your tax-deductible gift by December 31st helps us end the year strong and prepare to give you even more life-changing resources in 2013. Please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Thank you. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder. All that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. Other topics include, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil. What has poetry to do with evangelism? A summary critique, Lawrence M. Krauss's A Universe from Nothing, Arthur Goldwag's The New Hate, John Gribben's Alone in the Universe, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now.
or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org.
Should Christians accept invitations to same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, we have enlisted proponents of both opinions to facilitate the process of thinking it through. Start your subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. I want to mention that Has God Spoken is now available in audio book, available on MP3 CD, unabridged and read by yours truly. You can order Has God Spoken, the audio book, on MP3 CDs on the World Wide Web. At equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Wes, listening in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Wes.
Hank, I'm a longtime listener, a first-time caller, and a financial supporter of your ministry. I want to thank you so much for all you do.
Well, thank you for your support.
My question is regarding predestination. I'm in a vigorous debate with my sister, and I've heard you talk on this before. And I believe that the Bible teaches that salvation is offered to everyone. And the basis for predestination is God's foreknowledge of whether or not we will accept Christ as Savior. While my sister believes that salvation is only offered to the elect. And I've heard you describe these two beliefs. But I don't believe I've ever heard you say which way, if either you, which side you come down on.
Yeah. Well,
and I was wondering your thoughts.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize that all Christians believe in predestination. Predestination is a biblical word. It is a biblical concept. But you're right in pointing out in the prologue to your question that the issue is not the word. The issue is the meaning that you pour into the word. And I think in this case, it is a very significant issue. Now, it's never a deal breaker because there are believers who hold to circumstantial or compatibilistic freedom who are within the pale of orthodoxy. There are also believers who hold to what's called libertarian freedom who are within the pale of orthodoxy. But within that that debate, which is a debate within the body of Christ, there are very significant ramifications, and you've, again, outlined them in the prologue to your question. The issue is simply this. Can everyone respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit? My answer to that question is yes. The Holy Spirit woos, we can respond. We can either reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit or we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Those who believe in circumstantial or compatibilistic freedom, which are synonymous ideas, roughly speaking, hold that God creates everyone in such a way that they cannot respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, everyone is created so that they cannot respond. But then God regenerates, or if you will, rewires those who are the elect. And now they have ears to hear, they can respond. But everyone that God does not regenerate or rewire, they don't have ears to hear. And therefore, just as a cow can't fly, they can't respond to the gospel. I don't hold to that position, but I do contend that that position is acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. And what we've done in this regard, and I think this is extraordinarily helpful, is we have provided a debate in print in the Christian Research Journal. And what we've done in this regard is provided a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist. And that, by the way, is a very important distinction. A lot of people think if you're not Calvinist, you're an Arminian. And that's not the case either. So we've presented the viewpoint of a very articulate Calvinist, and then the counterpoint from a very articulate non-Calvinist. They debate this in print, and what you're able to do when you read that article is you're able to test their arguments in light of Scripture and then hold fast to the good. So that's what I recommend you do. Hang on, I'll send you that article, or you can get it on the web at equip.org, and then you can look at the arguments and see which arguments hold water when you test them in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good.
Okay, that would be awesome. I would really appreciate that.
My pleasure. Hang on.
Okay.
Thank you for your support and your encouragement.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Hank.
God bless you. Cammy next, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Hi, Cammy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call today. I wanted to ask you, I have a friend who met somebody who converted her to a different type of, she was a Christian, but her friend converted her to some different practices where they have what's called a fellowship. And I'm not sure, they may be called Hebrew Christians, but they only believe in observing the Jewish traditions. They observe the Shabbat. They do not celebrate Christmas, and they do not believe in tithing. And so I just wanted to know if you are familiar with that group of people. They just meet in somebody's home is what they do.
Yeah, I am in principle. And here's the issue. The issue is that all the types and shadows of temple, priest, sacrifice, civil and ceremonial laws are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And therefore, while we can celebrate them in some sense in remembrance, they shouldn't be our focus. Passover is no longer the focus. The reason it's no longer the focus is the Passover lamb has come. So if we celebrate the shadow and not the substance, it is tantamount to what the writer of Hebrews, and here in this case, writing directly to Hebrews, is calling trampling on the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. So he's making very clear, as an inspired author of Scripture, that we should not go back to the shadow when the substance has come, and if we do, we are trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. Thank you very much.
You got it, Cammy. Thank you for your call. Madison next. Madison is listening in Columbia, Maryland, on the World Wide Web. Hi, Madison.
Hello. First of all, I just wanted to say that I really love your ministry, and I love to listen, and thank you so much for what you do.
You got it, Madison.
I have a question. Matthew 9:29 says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Well, I don't believe that if I ask God to do something, like pray or ask God to do something, that he'll necessarily do it if I believe it'll happen. But then if that's so, then what does that verse mean? Can you explain that?
Yeah, I think what's really important is to get the basis here of what's going on when we talk about faith. Because faith is only as good, Madison, as the object in whom it is placed. So if we have faith in our own faith, that's misplaced faith. But if we have faith in our God, then that's well-placed faith. So ultimately, as I've said on the Bible Answer Man broadcast many times, Madison, faith is a channel of living trust between a person and their God. Faith is only as good then as the object in whom it is placed. And again, I'm repeating that for a reason. If it's placed in your own faith, it's misplaced. If it's placed in God, it's well-placed faith. Now, how that makes a difference is God sees the whole of your life. We see just snapshots. So a lot of times we ask for things in faith that we would really like to see happen, but God, who loves us more than a father loves a child on earth, he loves us perfectly. He oftentimes knows that what we want is not really what we need. And therefore, he doesn't grant us through his grace what we're asking for because he knows it'll only harm us. And that's why our faith should always be augmented with the words, if it be thy will, if it's God's will for something to happen, then it will happen, and it will happen in accordance with his providence and plan for our life. So when you go to the passage in Matthew chapter 9, Madison, then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith will it be done to you, and their sight was restored. Now, Jesus in this passage is the object of their faith, and it was Christ's will that they be healed, and thus they were healed according to their will, to God's will. But that's not always God's will for us. God's will for us is not to save us from the difficulties of life. It's not even to give us a panacea. It's to give us peace in the midst of the storm. So Jesus made clear, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So he teaches us to look beyond the present to full restoration in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
You were talking about like putting your faith in Jesus or putting your faith in your own faith. What is like, what is putting your faith in your own faith?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Madison. Okay, there are people who teach in the Christian church today that faith is a force, that words are the containers of the force, and that through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So what they do is they try to conjure up this force of faith, and if I have enough of it, then I'm going to have health, and I'm going to have wealth, and everything will be fine. That's what I call putting your faith in your own faith, as opposed to putting your faith in God, and recognizing that God can do all things in accordance with his will, and what he does perfectly. So again, we see a snapshot of our life. He sees the total of our life. And so if we put our faith in him, it's not going to preserve us from difficulty, and it's not always going to give us a healing, but it will provide us what all of us long for, and that is peace in the midst of life's difficulties and turmoil.
So is putting your faith in yourself basically just declaring anything into your future and assuming it'll happen?
It's very much like that. Yes, that's exactly right.
What exactly would be putting your faith in God as well?
Think about it this way, Madison. If I'm in an airplane and you're flying it, and I have faith that the airplane is going to make it to California, that's probably misplaced faith, because you've probably never flown an airplane, right?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be. That wouldn't be a smart use of my faith, right? I'm putting my faith in something that's not faithful, because if you haven't been trained to fly an airplane, putting my faith in you to get me to California in the airplane is probably going to cause me to be in a wreck somewhere in Texas. But if I put my faith in an airline pilot who has been trained and knows how to deliver the goods, the people that are on the plane, to the place that the plane is going, then that's well-placed faith. And that's sort of a small analogy to what it means to place your faith in God. Now, no airplane pilot is perfect, but God is perfect. He's our perfect Heavenly Father. If we place our faith in him, that's well-placed faith. But if we place our faith in other people or in our own faith, that's just credulity. Good question. Coming up to station break. As always, we'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. The number to dial to get your question answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back.
One of the most significant demonstrations that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin is the prophecy of Daniel. Writing in the 6th century BC, he not only foresaw the ascendancy of the Median and Persian empires, but also the rise to dominance of Greece. The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal answers the question, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Start your subscription today when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Don't change the station. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back.
Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies. The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should Christians attend same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. Other topics include confronting the apologetic challenges of a secular culture, reflections on the girl with the dragon tattoo, sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil, Muhammad and the Messiah, comparing the central figures of Islam and Christianity, what has poetry to do with evangelism, robbing Paul to pay Peter and James, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. How would your life be different today without the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, or CRI's website, books, and other resources? If CRI has blessed you this year, please help us bring more of these blessings into your life and many more in the new year. Give a special tax-deductible gift by December 31st. Because we're entirely listener-supported, your gift truly matters. To partner with us in ministry, call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff, with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And right back to our phone callers. Next up is Larry listening in Churchton, Maryland, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Larry.
Hello, Hank. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you, sir. My question is about those hard passages in the Bible, like the one in Hebrews that talks about once you have tasted the goodness of God and you fall away, it is impossible to be restored.
Yeah. Well, I think what's important is to recognize that the book of Hebrews is written to Hebrews or written to Jews. And to fall away in context of Hebrews chapter 6 then refers to Jews who fall back into Judaism or bondage to the law, which was already fulfilled through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it refers to someone who is a professing Christian, but not a possessing Christian. Someone who professes Christ, but then when difficulty comes, they fall back into bondage to the law. So this has nothing whatsoever to do with the notion that one can lose their salvation. If you want to know what happens to those who are saved, all you need to do is look at Scripture and then immediately recognize that the one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you and one day will glorify you. So you have a seal within you, the precious Holy Spirit, a guarantee that the one who started the work will finish the work in your life. Moreover, that's precisely what the Scripture tells us. It lets us know that the one who began the good work in you will carry that work on to completion.
Right, right. I totally agree with that. You know, the unpardonable sin one used to bother me, and that one used to bother me, but it doesn't bother me anymore. I'm a long-distance truck driver, and I've been filling my mind with good things for a number of years. And I went to a worship service at a truck stop on Sunday, and it was a great worship service. But when the people came out, they started telling me who they listened to. And by being very Bible literate myself, they started talking about preachers like the Copelands and Jesse Duplantis, and I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't want it to divide us, but when a preacher steps over the line into heresy, that is when I won't listen to them at all.
Yeah, and I think that we do well, not to be divisive, but to warn people about the danger of false teaching, which is to say, if there is a pill on the market that's laced with cyanide, and we don't warn people about that, we're not doing them any favors. In fact, we're doing them harm. And I think as those who partake in the essentials of the historic Christian faith, which mark the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults, in fact, provides the very foundation of the gospel, the North Star by which the church has always set its sail. If you have people that compromise, confuse, or outright contradict essential Christian doctrine, then you should warn people, particularly those who are weak in the faith, so they don't fall for a false gospel, a false doctrine, a false Jesus that cannot save.
Right, right. Thank you very much. That answers your question. I'm a subscriber to the Christian Research Journal, and when I get home, I have a couple of your audiobooks waiting for me.
Well, bless you, Larry. Thank you so much for your call.
God bless you and your family, sir.
Have a great Christmas.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Christian listening in Salt Lake City, Utah, KUTR. Hi, Christian.
Hey, I called once before, and you exposed the false teachings of Creflo Dollar, you know, and I was watching Christian TV the other day, and these people, these certain ministers, I can't remember who they were, but they were having this kind of a forum where they were getting together, and it seemed like all of them were pretty much right on, but then they were associated with Creflo Dollar. Is that like a situation where I should not listen to them, or, you know?
Well, I mean, I don't think you want to render guilt by association. However, if let's say a pastor has Creflo Dollar speaking in their pulpit, that's a direct violation of Scripture because he is compromising essential Christian doctrine, not the least of which is the deity of Jesus Christ. So if I'm a pastor, I can't give him a platform. The Bible's very, very clear, John particularly clear in his epistles. Moreover, I think it's really important for people to recognize that Creflo Dollar is a false teacher and therefore warn people to stay away from the false teaching. Why? Because there are thousands and thousands of people flooding into the front door of his church, but just as many thousands falling out the back door of the church. And you don't notice those that fall out of the back door of the church because of the people coming in the front door of the church. But many of them fall into the kingdom of the cults because they don't know what to believe or who to trust anymore. Because he's preaching a gospel that overpromises and underperforms. Which is to say, if you adhere to his notion of faith, then you're going to have unlimited health and wealth. Well, in practical reality, that just doesn't work out. So people ultimately either recognize the deception and think all of Christianity is a deception, or something even worse happens. They end up with a life-threatening disease. They try to deny the symptoms. It doesn't work. They end up being crippled or die as a result of the disease. And many times they call right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and they're calling when it's too late. I mean, I had a man who called the Bible Answer Man broadcast not all that long ago, and his mother had fallen for these false teachers. She had denied her symptoms. She had breast cancer, and by the time she recognized that what she had placed her faith in was false, she is already going to die, and that's exactly what happened. She died. And so her son called, and I can still viscerally remember the lump in my throat when I was talking to him. In other words, these are teachings that have dramatic consequences.
Yeah, I understand. I have one more question for you. For various reasons, which I'm not even sure of, I've been undergoing like a great deep depression. And can some of this just be deception from the wicked one? Because, sometimes people, I noticed that David suffered depression, Elijah did, people like Spurgeon suffered depression. And I'm just trying to get some relief because it's really difficult.
Yeah.
And, I'm kind of like feel frozen. Do you think that's I've been saying recently, the thing I've been trying lately is saying, Lord, forgive me for being deceived if I am, what do you think about that?
Well, I think a number of things. Number one, if it's a medical problem, then you have to treat it medically. If it's a spiritual problem, you have to treat it spiritually. But you also have to recognize that this is the condition of humankind. We go through times of great elation and sometimes great despondency. Our lives are subject to these kinds of ebbs and flows as long as we live in a real world. So I think the antidote isn't a magic bullet. The antidote is always getting back to basics, getting into the Word of God, getting the Word of God into you, so that when you face these times of despondency and depression, the Word of God can refresh your mind and renew your spirit. It's also incumbent upon us to develop a relationship with the lover of our souls. So many people think that prayer is a way to get things from God, but in reality, it is a way of developing intimacy. And so when we go through these times of despondency or depression, we can go to our Lord and let him know precisely where we are, and he can be that balm of Gilead in our life. We also need to be sure that we're connected to a healthy, well-balanced church, because when we stumble, when we fall, when we're in a state of depression, we need the body of Christ to rally around us and to give us strength. This is one of the reasons that the Bible makes so clear that when you become a believer, you're not born again in isolation. You're born into a family of God. You're a living stone in the temple of God. And as Romans 12 makes very clear, all of us need one another. So when you suffer and fall, I need to be there to pick you up and vice versa. That's why it's so plain in Scripture that we are not to isolate from one another, but we are to be integrated as living stones in the temple of God, not marbles bouncing off of one another in an empty cathedral. So again, there's no magic bullet. you always had to get back to basics and then realize that we live in a fallen world. And I said this earlier in the broadcast, Christianity is not meant to give us a panacea. Christianity promises peace in the midst of the storm. In this world, you'll have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world.
Yeah, I keep going to the scripture, peace I leave you and my peace I give to you. And I'm like, Lord, I don't have it.
Well, and there are times I don't either. I mean, there are times, and I remember this vividly just from a month ago. I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and I preached to a large congregation there, and I was so exhilarated by the fact that the Holy Spirit was moving through me in the process of reaching out to people. And then afterwards, people were coming up and saying, oh, your ministry has blessed my life, and they were telling me testimonies over. And it wasn't 2 hours later that I was sitting on the plane, and I felt despondent, and I couldn't figure out how that was possible with what I had just gone through. But that's the human condition, and I am just as susceptible to it as you are. And that's why I say when we're in that kind of condition, we need the body of Christ. We need to have those guidelines, those connections through prayer and through the Word of God that can become solace in our life and that can renew our perspective and allow us to have a true valuation of things. Because you're absolutely right. Some of the greatest saints in the body of Christ have gone through exactly what you've experienced and what I experienced from time to time. So the condition you're going through is not unique. But remember, I mean, if it is a systemic problem that's medical in nature, you want to get a medical solution. If it's spiritual in nature, you want to make sure that you get the right diagnosis. And again, that can come from a healthy, well-balanced church and people that love you, care for you, and are intimately connected to you. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. A lot of you hanging on. I look forward to seeing you right here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if I didn't get to you today, hopefully I'll get to you tomorrow. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. And remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So long for now. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you want more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or log on to equip.org, where you can listen to the show live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Every day, your faith is under siege. Turn on the TV or your computer, open a newspaper or listen to the radio, and you'll hear the Word of God ridiculed, misinterpreted, or treated as outright lies.
The Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and CRI's other outreaches exist to help you defend yourself against these attacks. But we need your support to produce the resources you depend on, especially now at year end, when it's essential to ensure every CRI outreach that matters to you will continue at full strength in 2013. In these tough economic times, partners like you matter more than ever. Please help us continue equipping you to stand strong. Call 888-7000-CRI now. Or give your tax-deductible year-end gift right up to the last minute at equip.org.